I'm happy now to welcome to the program Irene Hoffman. She is Philips Director and Chief Curator of Site Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So you've been doing this for just a couple of months. Here in Santa Fe. And we want to talk first about this event that's coming up, and then we'll find out all about your background and what you're going to bring to Site Santa Fe. There is an upcoming event, and I think series of events to happen, which is called SPREAD. What's it all about?
Well, SPREAD really is sort of my first initiative for Site Santa Fe, for Site, for the artist community, and for the culture community in Santa Fe. It is a micro-granting initiative that sets up a platform for the community to make mini-grants for artists. So essentially, what will happen on March 18th is we will host a dinner. It'll be a dinner. Hopefully, we'll have a couple hundred people come. Cash only at the door. We'll ask people pay between $15 and $50. You decide what you want to pay, but you're paying at the door to support artists. It's kind of the way it starts. We'll have a really simple dinner, banquet style. Hopefully, a real cross-section of the community will come. And during the dinner, the diners will hear from up to 8 artists. We have a call out for artists, creative people throughout New Mexico to apply for SPREAD.
And you who are listening right now may apply.
You can go to sitesantafe.org to find more information about the application. What we're looking for are artist projects, innovative projects, projects that can be realized for a couple thousand dollars. But it might also be a larger project where this grant would finish the project for you. So we're going to be selecting up to 8 artists to come to the dinner. They'll be making very short pitches, presentations, 5 minutes probably, of their proposal to the audience. Every diner will get a ballot, everyone gets a vote, and the winner will get all the money from the door. So it becomes this instant granting project where the community decides how much the grant will be by how many people come and how much they give at the door.
So the more you pay at the door, the more
artist gets. And you get to decide who gets the grant funds. Only strings attached for the winner is that we'd love for them to come back to a future SPREAD dinner and tell us about their project. It is my hope that this does more than just support one project, but that the platform that SPREAD creates this wonderful exchange of ideas. We're going to hear, hopefully, from artists and creative individuals that maybe we don't see in galleries locally and don't have necessarily another outlet for their work. I'm hoping that collectors will come. I'm hoping that curators will come. I'm hoping that gallerists might come, and that there might be opportunities for more than just the artist that walks away with the bag of cash.
Right.
So it is an initiative about supporting creative individuals in Santa Fe, and we're really in New Mexico. We're opening this up to creative people working in all disciplines at any stage in their career.
So not just painting and photography and video. I mean, what are some of the sort of further reaches of creative genres?
Maybe this might be there might be a grant given to a poet who has a book of poetry finished, but the grant might be for graphic design fee and printing of that book. It might be for a theater group. The production may be already in the works, but maybe there are no funds for that final push to make the costumes really fabulous. Or maybe it's a filmmaker for post-production of a larger project. So it could be sort of any number of sort of creative individuals working in disciplines that might be seen in galleries in Santa Fe, but might be working more privately and creating work that has a much different kind of audience. And so we're really hoping that the word gets out, spread the word.
Right, spread the word and spread the wealth.
Exactly.
Now, is this a model that has been used, in other places doing the same kind of thing?
Yes. This is inspired by something that began in Chicago called Incubate. And there it was about creative initiatives, inventions, and sort of other kinds of initiatives that were funded through a communal dinner. A group of artists got together in Brooklyn a number of years ago and began a version sort of inspired by Incubate, and they called it Feast. And over the years, a number of different cities, St. Louis, Baltimore, Minneapolis, have also taken this model and translated it to their own setting. In some cities, the call for entries is really focused on a specific topic.
Right.
In Baltimore, for example, the focus was really on social justice projects and creative solutions to some of the urgent social needs in the city. We take the same kind of idea of the community coming together for a dinner and then voting on a winner of a project. I think the scale here is much larger than other cities. We're really hoping that this, because we have a larger platform at site, because we have the farmers market across the street as our venue, we have the potential to really make this a much larger kind of event than has occurred in other cities.
How many people are you expecting to get to come to dinner?
We hope the first one there'll be 100, but maybe there'll even
could
be room
more.
For 200.
Right.
And it becomes our pilot. Our pilot then we launch on March 18th. And then the idea is that there is a spread dinner three times a year. So there's really always one coming up. So that there's some momentum, that we start to create a community around this idea and this larger network of support for artists.
It's funny that a model of what you might call microfinance,
yeah,
which is the kind of third world model, microlending and so on, is now being used in industrial nations like ours.
Exactly, exactly. And I think it really puts the decision in the hands of the community to really find a way to support ideas that they find really inspiring. So we're going to see how it goes.
Now, does the first one have a theme?
It doesn't. We're opening it up to all kinds of projects. I think once we see the first round of applicants, we'll have a better sense of, do we need to focus the theme, or is there something coming up regionally that we might want to tap into with a theme? So I see this project also evolving over time as we kind of get a feel of how it works. We're hoping it might also be an event where a local DJ might want to join us for a bit, or a local band might come, that it becomes this place where we kind of all pull together and pitch in to make this thing happen for artists.
And it is a great idea in a number of ways. I mean, bringing people together, maybe they're artists who haven't seen each other's work,
much less
audiences and collectors seeing their work and
Absolutely.
So on. And there's just something about sitting down and breaking bread together, which is a profound and important way of getting to know one another.
Exactly, exactly. I think it's a very welcoming and open and kind of comfortable way to talk about ideas. And so, you know, we like to think of this as, you know, small grants for big ideas.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's called Spread.
Spread.
And if people want to apply for it, the first one, first time around, when is the deadline? It's just coming right up, isn't it?
It's coming right up. It's the 1st of January.
1st of January. So that's
and
Saturday.
And it's a very simple process to apply. Just a few questions, a few images. And what we've done is assembled a selection committee that will work with me to look at the applicants and select the artists to come to each dinner event. And they really represent a cross-section of different institutions in town, different disciplines.
Different parts of the state.
Different parts of the state. So that, you know, among our committee are, you know, those who are interested in film, there are a couple contemporary artists, there's a composer, a video artist, a writer, so that even our panel starts to reflect the diversity of the various disciplines that we're hoping will be interested and get involved.
We're talking to Irene Hoffman of Site Santa Fe. So if people want to apply, sitesantafe.org is the website.
SiteSantaFe.org has all the info.
You can also write to spread@SiteSantaFe.org. So, okay, so that's one of the things you're doing. You came from Baltimore. That was the last place that you were at.
I was the director of the Contemporary Museum.
So what was that museum like compared to Site Santa Fe?
In many ways, there are similarities, absolutely. The Contemporary Museum was founded about 20 years ago at a moment when, like in a lot of cities around the country, there were larger museums that had modern and contemporary galleries and curators and collections, and yet artwork was really changing. It was getting in many cases political. It was becoming large scale. Video projection was emerging, and there were all these art forms that were a little difficult at the time for the larger institutions to handle. And so it was a moment where there really was this need for an alternative venue that would be able to show this new work, that was able to be a place of experimentation and allow artists to really be able to create work that didn't otherwise have a venue at that time. So that becomes sort of the moment that the Contemporary Museum was founded, with really a bold exhibition about AIDS and the impact of AIDS on the artist community. And over the years, it really became a laboratory where artists, both emerging and established, could really have a chance to make new work. And that becomes a really energizing and exciting kind of place to be. And for me, in a city like Baltimore, with this very textured history and interesting community there, it became a place where there were a lot of artists I was able to invite that engaged with that community, that engaged with the history head on. And so looking now to the connections between the Contemporary Museum and Site, many of the words in each institution's mission speak of artistic excellence, but also innovation and sort of becoming this place that can support an artist's new idea. A laboratory, an incubator, all of these words sort of resonate with both institutions. The scale here is much larger.
Right.
And it also becomes an institution that has a much, much larger sort of platform, not only physically, but in its profile. So there is an opportunity here to continue the same kind of work, but in a broader context and a larger platform. So it's a really kind of nice move for me and a nice fit for the kind of things that I'm really passionate about.
What do you think is the role of a place like Site Santa Fe, or indeed the museum you were at before, but here you are at Site, in engaging some of the really difficult social issues that we're in today? I mean, here in Santa Fe, you know, the incredible, crazy disparity of wealth and poverty and all the kinds of things that we're looking at here. Is the institution outside of that? Is it engaging some of those issues?
I think it absolutely can and should. And not every artist is interested in that kind of engagement. But there are many that are, that I find really interesting and would like to be able to work with. In Baltimore, that was part of the program there, was to really make work, bring artists specifically skilled and interested in engaging a community, and in the case of Baltimore, that were really savvy about addressing racial issues. And sort of the way that sort of development has occurred in Baltimore, issues of identity and cultural difference and the like, all of these in the hands of an artist, they can create a safe place to talk about these ideas, and that's where some really interesting things can happen in sort of moving the dialogue forward and sort of getting deeper on these issues. And I see the great potential to do that here through art. The kinds of artists that I'm starting to think about bringing here, they have a slightly different focus. Some of the artists that I'm interested in bringing here not only have a history in the Southwest, but their work is really focused on cultural misunderstanding, stereotype, kind of understanding one another when we live all together and share this city and this land, and yet we come from all these different cultural perspectives, and how can we, through shared experiences, start a new kind of dialogue. So I have a couple of artists in mind specifically that would be able to kind of begin this kind of conversation through projects that may not actually physically exist at site,
right,
but maybe more public projects where you might engage with this project in the rail yard, in the farmer's market, or somewhere else in the community. So I do see a program for site that is both gallery bound, but also has these other touch points that might be out in the community as well.
When you talk about encouraging dialogue, there's different kinds of dialogue. There's the kind of dialogue that the person has when encountering a work of art, thinking about it, talking about it with the person they came with, mm-hmm. and so on. And then there's dialogue that you consciously set up where you get people talking to each other. How do you see that?
I think both can happen. And I think depending on the project, I see possibilities for both. Because, of course, yes, this kind of work can really... Yes, start a dialogue first for yourself. It asks you questions. It poses questions. What happens when you start to talk about this work with the people, like you said, that you came with,
which
or your
the
family?
Which is the most fun, yeah. I mean, it's really... I love going to see something, especially something that I don't understand very well, with somebody else and trying to engage with it.
Yeah, and it has the potential to really change how you think of an issue. So I think there is definitely the potential for a more public kind of discussion that can come out of these kinds of projects.
And what about also the issue of serving collectors? Because, of course, that's part of how a large institution works, is that people collect the art. What's site's role in that relationship?
Well, I think site's role and certainly the role of the Contemporary Museum of Baltimore was education. And in many cases, we're introducing artists to the community, which includes collectors, for the first time. So it's about sharing that work, sharing the enthusiasm for that work. And certainly there are some works that I'm referring to where there is no object to collect.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Right? So that really becomes kind of a secondary part of this kind of cultural practice.
You did... an exhibition using the cell phone. I didn't see this, so I didn't even really know what it's like. I just read about it. Cell phone technology?
Right, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was one of I would say this was an exhibition that came together the fastest. I put this together, this show together with the kind of speed, in a way, of the technology itself.
Right.
I became very interested in what I started to see happening with this device. Of course, not dissimilar to what happened when the camera was introduced, when the port-a-pack and the video projector was introduced. Every new piece of technology, artists have been there to see what might be done with that technology. But here is this device that has become part of our body, of our existence.
For better and worse.
Exactly. In a way we could have never imagined if you didn't grow up with them. So I started to talk with artists and realized that many of them were operating outside of museums. They weren't really interested in being in a museum. They were making works with cell phones, with cell phone technology, but they were talking to a whole other kind of more global community. And that was a really interesting thing to me. So this ended up being an exhibition, Cell Phone, the Art and the Mobile Phone was the title. And this was now about 4 years ago. And it ended up being the first museum exhibition of artworks made with and for a cell phone. And not everything included a cell phone. One piece, for example, was a room you walked into and you were asked to make a phone call in the room. And when you did, only when you did a series of LED lights start flashing in the room. What you learn then is that it's responding to the radiation.
Very.
So it starts to make visible this thing that, you know, we try to ignore about about this device. Other projects relied on you texting something very interactive, and then something would change on a video that you saw. Another was this extraordinary chandelier of over 50 cell phones, each with a small video screen running a different video. There were others that used GPS technology to do a performance. So it really opened up, I think, the audience's eyes to this whole world of art production that was rapidly, rapidly changing and had a huge range of form. So it was a wonderful way to be, for me as a curator, to be very experimental also, and just take a snapshot of what was happening at that moment. And because it ended up being the first museum show of its kind, if I had known that at the time and really thought about what what that meant, you know, it would have put a whole other pressure on me, because now it kind of becomes the first show that many curators have asked me about what was in that show,
right?
But instead of really worrying about sort of how important that may or may not be, I kind of followed my own kind of instinct and picked works that I thought were sort of took a snapshot of that moment and the whole range of what kind of work was being made. So it was It was a lot of fun, and I think defined what the Contemporary Museum was doing in terms of reaching out, trying new things, and really kind of, in this case, taking a chance with an idea.
Irene Hoffman is Philips Director and Chief Curator of Site Santa Fe. And once again, if you want to apply to SPREAD or just find out more about it, you can go to sitesantafe.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Sean Conlon for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.